Blog Talk Radio.
Mode One.
I want to rock with you.
You are now listening to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
The following internet radio show is for mature audiences only. That means, boys and girls, you must be 18 years of age or older to listen.
Are you a man or woman who is 35 years of age or older, who has never been married and does not have any children? Let's take it a step further. Are you a man or woman who is 35 years of age or older and you have no desire to even get married and no desire to ever have children? If the answer is yes to one of those two questions, do you feel like you are an undesirable romantic companion? Do you feel like your lack of marital credentials or your lack of parenting credentials places a big red flag on top of your head? Statistics show over the last 10 to 15 years that there are many single women in society who are 35 years of age or older who have yet to be married and have yet to have children. Those same statistics show that there are a good number of single men who also fall into this same category. What does that say about today's dating and relationships climate in the 21st century? Has marriage lost its appeal among dating singles in today's society? Has the idea of being a mother or a father to at least one child present too much responsibility for many of us? Tonight, I invite you to participate in another one of my provocative open forum discussion topics that is sure to provoke strong opinions from both single men and single women. The call-in number is 646-478-5710. So tell your male friends and female friends about tonight's conversation so that they too can call in and gain the opportunity to get upfront and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
Oh my God, is this A. Alan Roger Curry of Mode One fame? Oh my God,
you're really good at this.
I gotta ask you,
do you feel that black men have some type of unwritten obligation to date and marry someone in their race?
You do.
I think they do. I think white people should date white people. I think black people should date black people.
Now, how did you come up with this idea to go to Italy with the women?
With the women, right. I just got so tired of hearing all my male friends talk about Brazil and how great Brazil is for them.
When I was growing up, I would go and hear about black women complaining about white women are stealing our men. Don't complain about your goods being stolen if you casually leave them on the front porch.
Have sex. Enjoy your life.
You know, men really want women to have standards. They really do. And I don't know how we got off of the mark there, but men do like classy women, and they want women to have standards.
I think you can be single and be very, very happy, and I think it's about taking the pressures off about being married.
I'm not saying that you should disrespect the woman. Never disrespect your woman, but the key is to not let her walk all over you.
Romantic love is very volatile. People don't realize it. And it is a drug. People don't realize it. Men and women do stupid things. Not all men, but sometimes you'll do something stupid.
I think it's a turn-on because just to see that person, just to enjoy themselves and just to watch them touching that person and making them feel good, I think that's kind of sexy, actually.
Yo, yo! Mode One! This is Gerard McClendon from Chicago tonight and the McClendon Report. Right now you're listening to Upfront and Straightforward with my good friend, Alan Roger Curry. Mode One, let the women know, fellas, what you're really thinking. Ha ha, Alan Roger Curry.
Thank you.
welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. We're on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network, and I'm your host, Alan Roger Curry. And today is Thursday, April 4th, the first Thursday in April. And tonight I'm going to have another one of my interesting open forum discussions. For those of you who are fairly new listeners, I have most of my shows, I usually have a special invited guest, usually like a dating and relationships book author or some other kind of, you know, dating relationships expert. But I would say roughly maybe 15 to 20% of my episodes, I don't have a particular invited guest, but rather I have what I refer to as an open forum discussion topic, where I pick a topic that I think will provoke strong opinions about the topic I'm going to discuss. And then I just open my phone lines to my listeners to let them express their thoughts, their opinions, their general comments about the discussion at hand. And that's what I'm going to do tonight. The topic we are going to be discussing tonight, it started with, I've heard this discussion from time to time over the last few years. Probably for me personally, the first time I heard this discussion was actually at my 20-year class reunion. I had some of my female classmates, they asked me, they said, Alan, so I want to meet your wife. And I said, well, actually, I'm not married, so I can't introduce you to my wife. And they were like, you're not married? Oh, my God, I can't believe you're not married. And so we got to discuss, and they said, well, you know, a few of them said, well, you're not married, but at least you got, you know, at least you got a couple of kids. I said, no, I actually don't have any children. And they were like, what? And they start, you know, kind of giggling about it and making conversation about it. And then a couple of them start saying, well, Alan, you know, you better hurry up. I said, what do you mean I better hurry up? Am I against some kind of time deadline? They said, well, you know, once you reach about 40 and older and you've never been married, you don't have any kids, people begin to wonder about you. I said, really? And what they were mainly alluding to is my sexuality. Some of them suggested that if a man hasn't been married by the age of 40 and doesn't have any children, people naturally begin to assume that he's either gay or bisexual. And I was like, wow, I did not know that. And so we ended up discussing it for a little bit. And since then, I've had this discussion with a few other people. And then what provoked this episode tonight was I was on Facebook about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and a female friend of mine who is going to be joining me a little later as this conversation gets going, she had it on her page. She had it as a discussion thread. She said that a lot of her girlfriends tended to perceive men, older men, who had never been married and didn't have any kids as red flags. Something's wrong with them. The general consensus among a lot of women who have contributed to this discussion, whether it was my female friend's discussion or other discussions, they tend to put it in four categories. They say, if a man hasn't been married by the time he's 40 or older or doesn't have any kids, that means he's questionable in regards to sexuality. That's the number one thing they say. Number two, it means he's questionable in terms of his mental and emotional stability, i.e. he might be crazy. Number three, they think it means that the guy is some kind of control freak or is very set in his ways
and unwilling to compromise with a potential partner. Therefore, he would actually prefer to be single. And the final thing is that he has a lot of career-related problems and or financial-related problems. Those are the general ones I've heard. I'm sure somebody might call in today and maybe add one or two others. But those are the main ones I've heard, is questions about his sexuality, questions about his mental and or emotional stability, questions about whether or not he's somewhat of a control freak or extremely set in his ways, or questionable in regards to his career, his degree of career success and financial success. And so we're not just going to be talking about men. I'm talking about both genders. The question you can say I'm asking tonight is, does not having any marital credentials on your resume and not having any parenting credentials on your resume make you a red flag? Does it lower your appeal as a potential romantic companion? That's the question for tonight's open forum discussion. And my other question is, did you miss me? did you miss, you know, for those that don't know, I've been gone for the last 2 weeks. My last show was 3 weeks ago. I didn't have a show last Thursday, and I didn't have a show the Thursday before that, mainly for two reasons. One, I didn't want to compete with the NCAA tournament, which saw my Indiana Hoosiers lose. That was depressing. That was depressing. So, yeah, my Indiana Hoosiers, who President Obama had picked as the team most likely to take the NCAA championship, they lost. They lost. And that hurt my feelings. That hurt my feelings. So, there you go. There you go. The second reason, as you still can kind of hear, second reason I didn't do a show the last 2 weeks, I've been wanting to rest my voice. I've been having problems with my voice. And, you know, like, just like singers, if singers have problems with their voice, they cancel their concerts. And a voice is just as important to a talk radio host as it is to, a singer. And I don't know, I'm going to have a doctor's appointment or something. I thought it was just kind of a sore throat, but I'm starting to think it might go beyond that. I'm hoping it's nothing real serious. I hope I don't have any type of, throat cancer or something. But yeah, my voice for literally like the last 6, 7, 8 weeks, if not even a little longer than that, has been had this kind of like hoarseness to it. My voice is not 100%. It doesn't hurt. So I wouldn't necessarily say I have a sore throat, because when I have a true sore throat, my throat hurts. It doesn't hurt, so I'm not in any pain, but it's just hoarse. It's not, it's like the type of voice, like if you've been at a basketball game, a football game, and you've been screaming at the top of your lungs all game, and then after the game, you can't really talk. That's how my voice has almost been every single day. And, so like I said, you can hear a little of it as I speak. So that's why I took off the last 2 weeks. But I'm back. I should be back for the next few weeks. Well, I won't be back for all the next few weeks because I have good news. You know I've participated in this men's dating conference known as the Direct Dating Summit. I was a featured speaker in London in November of 2010. I was the headliner speaker, in Vegas in March of 2012. Then there was a third one in Australia. I didn't make that one. That was in early to mid-May of 2012. And this will be the fourth one. They're going to have a direct dating summit in Berlin, Germany. Berlin, Germany. So if I have any listeners tonight, I will be in Berlin, Germany. If you're from Germany, yes, check it out. Direct Dating Summit. Go to directdatingsummit.com. I will be leaving for Germany actually 3 weeks from today. Yep, 3 weeks from today, I will be going to Germany for the Direct Dating Summit. So I look forward to it. I look forward to meeting my fans and supporters in Germany. And I've never been to Germany before, so it's going to be an interesting experience for me. And I'm very much looking forward to it. I love all my listeners. I love all my listeners. And, you know, I get special love for the people who listen to my show live. In 2013, my number of live listeners has increased by anywhere from 150 to 200%. Yeah, so kudos to you all. Just about all my shows in 2013, my number of live listeners has increased from 2012. So I appreciate that. And, so I love all my listeners, number one. Number two, I love all my live listeners. And then even more specifically, I love my chat room listeners. And I got Charles Surge in my chat room. He said that I was using my, he said, wait, I love Alan's You're Not Married voice. Okay. Covina Man is in my chat room. Covina Man, welcome, Covina Man. East Coast is in my chat room. I got Michelle Hurley. I think I spoke to Michelle on Ebony's show. Is this the same Michelle that called in to Ebony's show last night? Yeah, last night. Yeah, she said yes. Hey, Michelle, what's happening? I appreciate you tuning in to me. Thank you. I don't know if this is your first time listening, but if it is, I appreciate you joining me. And if it's your second or more time listening to me, welcome back. I had a good time. You should check it out. There's a young lady I just became friends with about probably a month and a half ago. She has a show on Blog Talk Radio. Her name on Blog Talk Radio is Ebony Empress. Her real name is Sandra, but on Blog Talk Radio she goes by the host name Ebony Empress. And she interviewed me last night about Mode 1 and my books. And so you can do a search on the Blog Talk Radio page. You can just do a search and look for, just put in Alan Roger Curry. It should come up. But yeah, we had a great discussion. Michelle contributed to that discussion, and we had a great discussion. I love listening to Ebony talk because she's from London. So, you know, she has that London voice, you know. You know, jolly old chap, top of the morning to you, mate. And, she interviewed me about the Mode 1 principles. People always want to know about the Mode 1 principles. And so I dropped some knowledge and wisdom on her listeners. And she has some really good people call in. And again, Michelle was one of them. I see Stephen Harper in my chat room. I see my buddy Nelson in my chat room. Nelson, what's up? And I see my friend who has the hardest to pronounce username in the chat room. They know they always mess me up with that. I just say Susie DeJesus. Susie DeJesus. I know I'm fucking it up, but I say Susie DeJesus. Susie DeJesus said the reason my voice is fucked up is because I'm going through peach snapple withdrawal symptoms. That's pretty funny, Susie DeJesus. You know, I have to be honest with you. I haven't drank peach snapple in a long time. I've been trying to lay off of it because it has so much sugar in it. So I've been mostly drinking just water, but I've been making my own peach tea. I bought these peach slices, and I make this herbal tea, and I put the peach slices in the herbal tea, and it's good. I love peach. I love anything peach. If it's peach cobbler, I love it. With peach cobbler, it makes me think of my good friend who's listening to my show, as he always does, Irvin V. Pulliam, a.k.a. Match One, Irvin V. Pulliam. EVP3. I always talk about his mother. His mother, I love that woman. I love that woman. His mother, Mrs. Poyam, she makes hands down the best peach cobbler I've tasted since my mother passed away. Her and my mother were like neck and neck. My mother made a great peach cobbler, and my mother and Irvin's mother are like 1A, 1B in terms of the peach cobbler. I mean, even restaurants' peach cobbler is not as good as my late mother's and Irvin's mother's peach. It's all about the crust. See, that's the thing. A lot of people don't know how to make the crust and the sauce or the juice. Those are the two things that make the peach cobbler, is the juice and how you do the crust. And in my whole life, there's only been like maybe 3 or 4 people that have known how to make it just right. And again, the top two were my late mother and Irvin's mother, man. That boy, I told Irvin, his mother could open a bakery just on peach cobbler. She'd become if not a millionaire, close to it. Because, man, I'd be ordering that every week and getting fat. I see my younger cousin in the chat room, J.P. Jones from Chicago, known as J-Rock in the chat room. J-Rock in the chat room. Yeah, Steven, I like peaches and cream. I like anything peach. I can't think of anything that has peach in it that I don't like. Unless it's something crazy like peach peanut butter cookies or some stupid shit. I wouldn't eat no peach peanut butter cookies, you know. That's just stupid. But just about anything else, peach drinks, peach desserts, peach, I don't know, whatever else you can put peach in. That's my favorite fruit. Strawberries are close second. I like raspberries too. Raspberries I love. But peach, man, shit, I love me some peach. Other shout-outs to be my older brother and Ace Confidant, Stephen Curry. Stephen Curry. I mentioned my younger cousins, Arthur Ball, Maplewood, New Jersey, Christopher Curry in Detroit, Michigan, J.P. Jones, he's in my chat room, he's in Chicago. Mentioned Irvin V. Pulliam and his younger brother, Philip Pulliam. Yes, sir. Vanessa Turner, Edie Lee Harris, my female supporters in my female supporters group. Yeah. Much love to all of them, my women in the female supporters group on Facebook, and everybody else I'm cool with. And I am saddened today because everybody who knows me knows that I'm a big movie buff. I'm a big movie buff. There was a friend of the family that used to call me and my brother Cisco and Ebert because we were always offering our reviews on movies. I love movies. I love to review movies. I've written some articles about movies. I see my other cousin, young cousin in the chat room, Hype Style, Christopher Curry from Detroit. So I got two of my younger cousins in the chat room. I like to call them my baby cousins, but they so old now that they like, cuz, don't refer to me as baby cousins. But that's how I look at them. They my baby cousins, man. My baby cousins. JP and Christopher Curry in my chat room. And who else just came in my chat? I saw Love and Light. Oh, Love and Light in my chat room. I know she's going to be causing trouble. Love and Light. I always like to cause trouble in my chat room. But what was I saying? Oh, I'm saddened by the news that Roger Ebert, the great film critic, passed away. He passed away, and that hurt me. Yeah, that hurt me because I love Roger Ebert. I loved his reviews. And yeah, that's a loss. That's a loss. Trust me on that. That's a loss, man. I was saddened when Cisco died. And I'm saddened that Ebert died. Because I always read his reviews. Any major movie, he was usually like the first critic who I would, you know, try check out his review because he was thorough. And he just had a good spirit about him, you know? Just had a real good spirit about him. And, yeah, so my condolences to his wife, his loved ones, anybody else that was close to him. Yeah, my rest in peace, Roger Ebert. He battled cancer, man. He battled it, man. He battled it like a boxer in a boxing ring. And, Rutgers basketball coach got fired. Did you see the videos of him? He was abusing his players, man. I didn't like that, man. I know, you know, coming from Indiana, you know, we had Bobby Knight, who was a little crazy at times. But, man, that dude made Bobby Knight look like a Boy Scout. That dude was crazy, man, calling people faggots and all kinds of stuff and slapping them and throwing the ball at their head. Man, if I was one of his players, I would have stole on that dude, man. I wouldn't allow him to hit me with no head, with no ball. I would have been like, boy, you better, who are you fucking with? They just wouldn't have had to charge me with some assault back. I would have had to cock back and still on him, seriously. I mean, after seeing them videos, that dude was off the chain. He was crazy, man. Go, if you haven't seen him, go to YouTube, put in Rutgers basketball coach. Now he's been fired. But, man, that dude was, I mean, a lot of coaches yell at their players. Ain't nothing wrong with, you know, if you're going to yell at your players to a certain degree, like kind of trying to light a fire into that butt, that's one thing. But, I mean, to verbally abuse them, calling them derogatory names, and then hitting them and throwing balls at their face and their head, that's crazy. That's why Bobby Knight lost his job. I mean, I love Bobby Knight as a coach, but, man, you know, Bobby Knight, he got caught, like, choking his brother in practice on video, man. Can't be doing that stuff, man. You know, I mean, I lose my mind when I play Madden NFL video game, but I don't be choking nobody. I just be using a bunch of curse words. I mean, like, man, I can't believe you dropped that motherfucking ball. You know, I just get mad. Anybody play video games, EA Sports, like NBA Live and, well, no, nobody plays NBA Live no more. They play NBA 2K13. But I play Madden NFL. Boy, I be yelling my ass off. But anyway, we're going to get this conversation started after this intermission break. So don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. We're going to get this conversation. Again, if you just tune in, what is the open forum discussion topic tonight? Here's the question I'm asking. If you are a man that is 35 years of age or older, and I say even more so 40 years, let's go with 40 instead of 35, 40. If you're a man that's 40 years of age or older and you've never been married and you don't have any kids, does that make you a red flag companion? Does that mean something about you is questionable and or undesirable? If you are a woman who is 40 years of age or older and has never been married and doesn't have any children, does that make you a red flag? Does that mean some of your attributes and personality characteristics are questionable and or undesirable? That's the discussion tonight. Please call in 646-478-5710. Press the number 1 and lets me know you want to talk, because I see a bunch of people in the phone queue right now, but I won't know you want to talk until you press the number 1, and then I get a little signal that lets me know you want to talk. But the first person I'm going to talk to when I get back from intermission is my female friend from Facebook. She had a whole discussion thread about this, and so I want to ask her questions, get her thoughts and opinions, and then I'll open my phone lines to everybody else. So, don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. I will be right back.
Can you feel the tension? You know what's coming up next, don't you? You all know what's coming up next. So, what can I tell you? I'm excited. I'm standing backstage and I'm all jittery. It's the moment we've all been waiting for. What can I tell you? I read this guy's book about 2 years ago, and this is some of the most powerful shit I've read. The guy's mind-blowing. He's got a radio show. He's been all over the place. He's got crazy fans. He's amazing at what he does. He loves helping people as well. This guy will go on for hours and hours, even if it's like one person or 100 people. He doesn't give a shit. He'll stand there and he'll help people and help them and help them and just keep it. And he loves this stuff. He's passionate about it. He changed my life. He's changing everybody's life in the room and thousands of people. And he's amazing. I'm really happy. I consider him one of my mentors. I love the guy. Please go crazy for Alan Roger Curry.
To know what you said to the Japanese girl on roller skates.
I went up to her. I said, "You got a talent for this rollerblading thing." And that was probably the only moment when she was smiling. She was like, "Yes, I love to rollerblade." I said, "Well, to be quite frank with you, I didn't give a fuck about rollerblading." I said, "Your ass looks so juicy in that, what is that, spandex?" And she was like, "Oh my God, I mean, would you just come to Venice Beach to just look at women's asses?" I was like, "Is that a trick question?"
Please visit www.modeone.net for more information on the Direct Approach Dating Summit 2010 DVD. Are you an expert and or book author who offers men and women products and services related to dating and relationships? If you have a new product, a valuable service, or upcoming event or speaking presentation that you would like to advertise on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network that is guaranteed to hit your target demographic audience, then look no further than Blog Talk Radio's number one talk radio podcast program for active dating singles. Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry has had more episodes ranked number one in the category of romance, dating and relationships, love and sex, and overall self-help for singles than any other talk radio podcast program on the entire Blog Talk Radio network since January of 2008. I will help you advertise any product, service, or event that is designed to help men and women improve their love lives, sex lives, and overall social lives. Please write me at Blog Talk Radio Advertising at mode1.net. That's MODEONE.net. Don't wait. Do it now.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and/or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. We now return to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. Welcome back to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, the most listened to talk radio podcast program on the Blog Talk Radio Network in the category of romance and dating and relationships. And again, I hope you missed me because I was gone for the last 2 weeks. My last show was 3 weeks ago, and I took a little break, but now I'm back with one of my infamous, provocative, hopefully controversial, open forum discussions. Some of my open forum discussion topics, they get, man, some of them have been tame. I've had kind of half and half. Half of them been kind of tame, but some of my open forum discussion topics, they get pretty, you know, heated depending on what the topic is. Matter of fact, two of my top five most listened to episodes ever since I've been on air have been open forum discussion topic episodes, as opposed to episodes with a special invited guest. Yes. And again, if you're just tuning in, the topic tonight is about, is having no baggage a red flag? And the reason I use the word baggage, I use that loosely. Some people tend to say if you're divorced and you got kids, there's people who would say, oh, you know, I don't know if I want to date that person. They got too much baggage. They divorced, they got kids, you know. So some people would refer to that as baggage. Even though I don't like to think of children as baggage. I mean, man, children are children. I mean, but that's what I'm just using, though, what people will say. Some people would say that, both men and women. They say, oh, you know, I don't want to date that person because they. But now, what's interesting, so first people would criticize people for having things like kids or having a divorce on their resume. Now it's almost just the opposite. Some people now are criticizing men and women for never being married and not having any children. I've been criticized, not in a real, I don't know if I've ever had anybody, at least not to my face, criticize me in a real serious, mean way, but more in a kind of a lighthearted, teasing way. I've had some people take jabs at me. They'll say, Alan, you know, you need to hurry up and get married because otherwise people are going to think you weird. You know, you need to have some kids or people are going to think you sterile or impotent or something. You know, I'm like, you know, why are people all up in my business? But that's the discussion tonight. We're asking the question, the main question, again, if you want to call in and contribute your thoughts and opinions, the main question is, a man or woman who's roughly, let's say, 40 years of age or older, who's never been married and doesn't have any children, does that make them a red flag? Does that mean that there's something about them that's at minimum questionable and at maximum undesirable? And joining me to start off the conversation is a good female friend of mine that I met through Facebook. She actually had a whole discussion thread about it, and it got heated. It got a little heated at times, very provocative, very controversial. And she was saying how some of her girlfriends tend to look at guys as red flags if they've never been married and don't have any kids if they're at a certain age. Now, she herself, I want to say, said she didn't feel that way, but she said a number of her girlfriends felt that way. So on behalf of the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network, and Upfront and Straightforward, I want you to give a warm welcome for my good friend with the sexy voice, Shelly Bean. What's up, Shelly?
Hey, Alan.
Man, I got to tell my listeners, Shelly is funny because I got to warn you, if you're on Facebook, there's an option you can have called close friends. And in case you don't know what that is, you already have, you know, of course, your friends. But you can elect to choose somebody as a close friend. That way, anytime they post anything, it pops up in your notification. If they said, I just ate a sandwich, it pops up in your notification. Now, I adore Shelly so much that I clicked on close friend. And some days, she'd just be posting her little ass off. I mean, I'll be having like 25 notifications. It says, Shelly Bean said this, Shelly Bean said that, Shelly Bean is doing this, Shelly Bean did that. And, but yeah, I always like reading whatever she has to say if it's very interesting. But yeah, one of the most interesting threads she had, which again led to this episode actually, was she had a discussion thread. I want to say it was roughly what, Shelly, about 2-3 weeks ago? Something like that?
Yeah, it was middle of March.
Yeah, tell my listeners what you posted and then talk about some of the reactions you got to your post and then we'll take it from there.
Okay. Well, first of all, I want to just thank you for even inviting me to be on your show. I am greatly honored. But like you said, it started off with just a simple question on my blog, or I'm sorry, on Facebook. And I simply asked the question, why are men in their late 30s, early 40s, without kids and never being married, considered red flags? And that was stemming from a conversation I had actually had with a coworker of mine, a male coworker. And he had mentioned to me that if a man was in his 40s or whatever and older, that it's probably a red flag if he's never been married or never had kids. And I was like, well, why is that? Because for me, or from my perspective, I was like, I think I would prefer somebody who didn't have kids and had never been married before. So I just found it odd that people saw it in that perspective of it could be a red flag. And in having discussions with people, you know, it's kind of the same things you mentioned too. It could be a question of sexuality. It could be, you know, emotional or mental stability that they have, or just being, you know, like want to play the world and be a playboy, or into the women play girls and not really want to settle down. And that could be considered a red flag. And, you know, and that makes sense. You know, if somebody doesn't want to be married or doesn't want to have kids and you on the other side do want those things, that would be a red flag for you because that's not compatible with your desires. But in the big picture, in the big scheme of things, I'm like, well, not being married doesn't equal being bad at relationships or not being able to love or not knowing what love is. So why do people see it as a red flag? Why do we cringe at the fact that someone's never been married or doesn't have kids? So that's kind of where it all kind of stemmed from. And the discussion, like you said, kind of got heated between people because they thought, you know, they're coming from different perspectives. Some of the people in my post had kids or had been married before. Others were completely single and never been married and didn't have kids of their own. So, you know, we all brought different ideas to the table, but I think this is really neat to kind of, you know, get your listeners to give their two cents in as well. So I'm interested to hear what they have to say.
Yeah, I mean, oh, you got a compliment in my chat room, Shelley. Somebody said, Alan, you weren't kidding about her sexy voice. Yeah, you know I am about voices, boy. Shelly, yeah, she does it for a brother. But yeah, like I said at the outset of the show, yeah, I had never heard that type of talk until my 20-year high school reunion, and these women like were really. I had about probably like 4 or 5 female classmates that were just really dogging me. Well, I should say dogging. I mean, it was all lighthearted. Nobody said it in a really, you know, serious or insulting way, but they kept acting like I should be on this clock. They were like, oh, Alan, you better hurry up and get married or hurry up and get somebody pregnant. And I was like, why? They were like, because people are going to think you weird. They're going to think you either weird, they're going to think you gay, they're going to think you bisexual, or just something else is wrong with you. And I was like, really? Are you serious? They were like, oh, yeah, you didn't know that? And I was like, no. They were like, yeah, among a lot of women, because we talk amongst ourselves, of course, and that's what we tend to talk about. We'll say, why is he over 40 and he ain't married yet? Something must be wrong with him. Something must be wrong with him. And so it's just so interesting, like I said, because there was a time when people would feel the reverse. People say, oh, you know, he or she is divorced. Oh, no. Or he or she got 3-4 kids. Oh, no. I ain't mess with them. But now they're saying if you ain't got kids and you never been married. So, what's the, like, give me the, I think you probably already said something, but what are, like, the really, when you've talked with some of your girlfriends, or it could even be from that thread we just talked about, what are some of the really harshest things that you've heard women's stereotypes you've heard about men, like men who've never been married and don't have kids are selfish, or they're assholes, or they're weird, or they're gay, or whatever. What's 2 or 3 of the, like, strongest stereotypes, strongest criticisms you've heard?
Wow. I think more along the lines of they're probably stuck in their ways. They wouldn't be open to inviting somebody new into their life and making them a part of it. So they'd be really selfish.
And so then that would be a red flag. Maybe with the kids, the whole having, you know, baby mama drama, depending on the age of the kid and the type of relationship that that person had with their ex. You know, it's a host of different things. But I think the biggest one was, like, them being selfish and uncompromising is being the big one.
Yeah, that's definitely been in the top four. Like I said, I said it earlier, the four I've heard the most frequently is one of these four. One is some women say they perceive a man who's 40 years of age or older, who's never been married and doesn't have any kids, as maybe not being a legitimate heterosexual. They tend to perceive he might be gay or bisexual. That's probably, for me, of the conversations I had, the most frequent. The second is that he might be mentally and or emotionally unstable. In other words, he might be a little crazy. He might have some kind of crazy temper or, you know, just something that would prevent him, almost like he's kind of maybe a sociopath or something that prevents him from interacting with people, particularly in the course of a relationship. Third most frequent thing I've heard is what Shelley just said, is that the guy is probably set in his ways. He has probably a very uncompromising nature. He's a control freak. He likes to have everything his way. Very selfish. And the final thing I've heard the most frequently is that it means he must have something to do with his career or his finances. Like, he's erratically employed, or, you know, he got a real low credit score, or just a whole bunch of financial problems, financial debt. And so it's interesting. And then the women, kind of some of the same ones and some of the other, and some that are different. Like, when I've talked to guys about the same subject about women, the ones who have opinions about it, they'll say, if a woman, I've heard some guys, I'll give out a few of their generalizations. When guys make comments about women who are, say, 35 years of age or older, who've never been married, don't have any kids, hands down, the most frequent one with them is they must be a bitch. That's always number one for most men. They say, oh, man, she must have a very hard-to-get-along-with personality. She must be somebody that's just has an abrasive personality. You know, they essentially say she must be a bitch. Second most thing would be the sexuality thing. They say, oh, she's probably a lesbian or at least bisexual. Third, same with men, they'll say, oh, she's probably set in her ways. She likes to do things her way, and she probably, you know, would never change or be willing to compromise within the context of a relationship. Some men say, oh, she must have a history of a high degree of promiscuity. And the final one is just general character/integrity issues. Matter of fact, there was a woman named Tracy McMillan. I don't know if the name rings a bell with anyone. She wrote this article that got a lot of attention on the Huffington Post about 2 or 3 years ago. It was called Why You're Not Married. And it was mainly geared towards women, I think, who were roughly 35 years of age or older, who've never been married. And she gave about four reasons why. I'm going to look it up as I'm talking on Google so I don't misquote her. But she gave these reasons why you're not married. And a lot of women had a strong reaction to it. I would say about maybe one-third or so of the women who I remember commenting on her article, they agreed with her, but I'd say at least 60-65% of women, she got them riled up. Yeah, they got a lot of attention, you know, which is what a writer wants. She had a lot of hits on that article. Okay, I found it. Tracy McMillan, Why You're Not Married. And again, Shelley made a good point. There's some people who just simply don't want to be married. So I would say that's the simple reason why a lot of men are not married is they don't want to be. They have no desire to be. Same with children. Some people don't have children because they don't want any children. Now, honestly, there's some people I know, even some people close to me that have wanted children, but they've had miscarriages or, you know, they've had abortions. If I had to reveal some of my personal business, a lot of talk show hosts tend to do this, reveal things about them lives. I don't have any children, but I actually would have a child. But one of my ex-girlfriends had an abortion. It was her choice. I didn't encourage abortion, but I can't say I, you know, did everything in my power to prevent it. But, you know, she decided to have an abortion. But, you know, so if she wouldn't have, I would have a son or daughter right now. But anyway, going back to Tracy McMillan, hers was geared towards, again, she was excluding people, women who just simply don't want to be married. Hers was more so towards women who have a desire to get married to one degree or another, but something, she feels like something is holding them back. And her number one was the same I said for men's number one: you're a bitch. She literally says that. That was her number one. She said, reason why you're not married is you're a bitch. You're angry all the time. You know, you got a funky attitude. And I'm just going to be real. From a man's perspective, no man wants to marry a bitch. Like, I know there's this author named Sherry Argo. I think it's Sherry Argo. She wrote this book that sells very well on Amazon, so I can't take no props away from it in terms of book sales. It's always at the top of the list, but it's called Why Men Love Bitches. But I think that is a misleading title, because I don't know any man I've ever met that loves to be in a long-term relationship with a bitch. I've personally never met a man. Now, I'll tell you this, and I've said this before in a couple episodes over the years. I tell you what, when men do love a bitch, and probably some of the men who are in my chat room now will agree with this, is for casual sex. You know why? Because there is nothing greater than meeting a woman and she's like acting like a total bitch. But then when you fuck her that first time, and you inside of her, and all of a sudden she becomes really submissive, and she starts moaning, and you make her say shit like I ain't gonna lie, I make women say, I say I'm sorry for acting like a bitch towards you 2 weeks ago. And we'll say, oh, I'm sorry for acting like a bitch. Man, all men get a high out of that. I dare any man to say that he don't get a high out of that. You always want that contrast of a woman being a bitch and then a woman being submissive to you in bed. But that scenario aside, no man wants a wife or a long-term girlfriend that's a bitch. So that was Tracy McMillan's number one to women, why you're not married. Her number two was, you are shallow. Yeah, I've heard a few men say that. A lot of women out here, as well as a lot of men out here, who are very shallow and superficial. This one got a reaction from the women at the time. Her number three, she said, you're a slut. Now, everybody knows women are sensitive about issues to do with their past sexual experiences, their degree of promiscuity, you know, so... No, you know, that's the big thing. And the same way, I always say, the same way men's big target word, trigger word is to be called a wimp or a punk. If you want to get a man riled up, call him a wimp or a punk. With women, the same trigger word is a hoe or a slut. No woman likes to be called a hoe or a slut. So men, it's all about their manhood. Don't, you know, we don't want our manhood challenged. Women don't want their virtue challenged. And she did, but Tracy McMillan said her third most significant reason why you're not married is because you're a slut. Her fourth reason was because you're a liar. Now, that's true. Next to a bitch, I can't stand a liar. Ooh, man, that's a big one with me. Number five, you're selfish. Shelly and I talked about that. Yeah, just a selfish person. That was her number five. And her final one is you don't believe you're good enough. You're basically insecure. You don't feel like you're good enough to be married. So given those six assertions by Tracy McMillan, Shelley, what are your thoughts on Tracy McMillan's six points on why women who want to be married are not married?
I think Tracy hit it on the head with everything she said from one through six. I think that being selfish just as much, I would probably put that right up there with being a bitch, because in any relationship for it to work, you have to be selfless. And if you're completely selfish, thinking that everybody's just there to serve you, you're not going to be successful. And if your desire is to be married, then that right there is just, I think, out the window, because part of being in a marriage or in a loving relationship is, you know, being able to care for that other person. So I think that's right up there with being a bitch. Now, what was the other one? Being a liar, being a slut, being shallow, all those things. Yeah, I can see that. I can see that for women who desire to be married. If they have those kinds of attributes and qualities, they might find it difficult, especially if they're looking for a quality man. Now, I think anybody who wants to be married can find just anybody to marry. But
true.
If you're looking at, I want quality, then these things would definitely be red flags or hindrances to achieving that.
See, that's why I don't understand the notion of I don't understand the notion of this whole time thing about marriage. Like people say, you should be married by the age of 35, or you should be married by the age of 40. Because my thing is, if you're looking for quality, there shouldn't be a time limit on that, you know? I mean, if you're a man looking for a quality wife, or you're a woman looking for a quality husband, you know, why should you be looking for that by a certain age, you know? So I don't get that at all.
I think a lot of that comes from social conventions and cultural conventions that kind of dictate that. But, I mean, being that we are living longer, healthier lives, people kind of can delay that whole, I have to do certain things by a certain age. Now, of course, from the biological perspective, you know, if you want children, there is somewhat of a time clock on that. But
true.
Even with technology and science and medicine and stuff like that, even if you can't go the normal route of producing children, there are alternatives out there. You know, if you agree with that kind of thing, then that might be an option for you. So even that doesn't necessarily have to be on the time clock. But I do agree with you. You know, you shouldn't have to rush if you're looking for quality. You shouldn't just jump at the first thing that pops up, because, you know, people change over time, and what's good for you now may not be good for you down the line either. So it depends.
Listeners, if you want to contribute with your own opinions, please call in to 646-478-5710. Again, the number is 646-478-5710. When you call in, press the number 1, and I see a 301 area code, and I will get to you right after this intermission break. So before I go to this intermission break, I want Shelley, since she's on my show, and I do this with all my guests. Shelley, you know about my first book, right, called Mode 1, Let the Women Know What You're Really Thinking. So, I love the way you say yes, sir. Say yes, sir again.
Yes, sir.
So I want you to stretch out the O's and give me your most seductive mode one.
Mode one.
Mode one. Alan Roger Curry.
Mode one. You're up front, straightforward.
Alan Roger Curry.
Listeners, I will be right back after this intermission break, so don't go anywhere. I got to emphasize this. If you call in, if you want to let me know that you want to talk, please press the number one, because I see about 15 people in my phone queue, but I only see one person that is press the one to let me know that they want to talk. So, if you really want to, contribute to this conversation, please let me know. I'll be right back after this intermission break.
No one.
You're about to enter into the erotic zone with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, the king of verbal seduction. This is the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Diana DeVoe, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Layla Odom, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Bella.
And this is Charlie.
And we're dancers from the legendary Score Strip Club in New York City. And you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Alexandra Cunahakis, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
So I'm getting treated for my sex disease.
This is Nikki True, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Ambrosia Cumming, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Brandy L. Davis, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
Episodes of the Erotic Conversationalist are available as a downloadable MP3 file from www.mode1.com. All right, I'm going to go with my next caller. Area code 310-310. You are now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. What's your question or comment?
I used to date lots of women, both in high school and in college and in medical school, and people used to always ask me, you're not the best looking guy, you're not the richest guy out there, how are you getting all these women? And essentially the answer is actually quite simple. It's essentially having the confidence and knowing what you want to do.
Oh, thank you, Master Allen.
Ooh, say that again.
Yes, Master Allen.
Oh, say that again.
Yes, sir, Master Allen.
I like that.
Hey, buddy, thank you so much for having me. That is easily the nicest introduction that I've ever had.
Tuning in, it's nice to see you all again. So,
if you found this page, I'm guessing at least on some level you'd like more success.
Seducing sexy ladies. Here's the deal.
My name's Sasha. Hello. And I like women.
Hey, everybody. Hey, everybody.
This website has tons of resources to help you guys get that success that you want. It's all there for you. The articles, the videos, my blog with lots of adventures and tips, it's all there for you guys.
Let's make the magic happen.
If you're interested in some more intense training, take one of my boot camps. They are fucking good. I'll be honest with you guys. I'm doing boot camps all around the world, so I might be coming to your city.
I would love to come over there and teach you this stuff because it's awesome. And you learn how to meet tons of hot girls.
If you're in London, this is the guy. He's going to take good care of you.
He's really present in the moment. He's really good. He hooks up with tons of girls. Good teacher and just somebody you want to hang out with and learn from.
Oh, so many names.
It's my first name and my sister name.
Okay. Yeah, well, I will see you.
Mm. You will?
Ryan.
Ryan. Me too.
Over the last few years, I've dedicated my life to getting good. It's a sort of fun and natural way of meeting women in the daytime.
What are you doing, actually, in your free time? What's your goal?
I meet beautiful girls on the streets. You know, chap girls on the street. Sound test? Sound test 1, 2, 3, 4. Sexy man. Hi. Can I get a little fist action? We're filming. Just want a little fist. Just come on. You know you want to. You know you want to fist me right now. Boom shakalaka.
Yeah, check out the boot camp page if you're interested in that.
I hope you enjoyed it. I hope it's useful to you. So please.
Sasha@sashapway.com. Thanks for coming to the site and...
Stop being a fucking... Just... What? I mean, come on, people. She's there in front of you. That's the only indicator of interest you need. She's there. You're there. Go for it.
Please pay a visit to www.sashapua.com.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
We now return to my open forum discussion that asked a question: if you have never been married and do not have any children by the age of 35, does that put a big red flag on top of your head? On Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
Welcome back to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, the talk radio podcast program that's had more episodes ranked as the number one most listened to episode of the week than any other talk radio show on Blog Talk Radio in the category of romance and dating relationships. If you tuned in late, I'm having what I call one of my open forum discussions, which means I want a lot of participation from my listeners. See, a lot of times I have a special guest here, like a dating relationship expert. And I kind of do have a guest here. I got my female friend from Facebook, Shelly. But, you know, when I have an open forum discussion, I want to hear from as many people as possible. I want to hear different opinions, different viewpoints. So please call in 646-478-5710. The topic tonight, what we're discussing is my friend Shelly, who you've been listening to, she had a discussion thread, and I know a number of other women who've had this conversation. There's this perception out there that if you're a man who is, say, roughly 40 years of age or older, and you've never been married and you do not have any children, some people tend to look at that as a quote-unquote red flag, that means something about you is questionable, or even more so, something about you is undesirable. Same with women. I actually wrote an article. I want you all to check out this site called yourtango.com, because I'm kind of a new featured expert on there, and I've written like 4 articles, I believe, for that site. And one of my articles actually had to do with this too, had to do with this episode. And one of the things I mentioned in the article is like, in my mother's generation, that was a big thing for women, much more than men. Like women, there was this thing where my late mother told me that women had a fear of being called, labeled a spinster or an old maid. Spinster or old maid. A spinster or old maid would be a woman who's anywhere from 35 to early to mid 40s and older, who's never been married and doesn't have any kids. Back then, that's what they would label women. They would call them either an old maid or a spinster. There's a guy on Blog Talk Radio named Steve the Dean Williams. He calls women cat women. That's his term for women in that category. He calls them cat women because he says they tend to share the company of cats. I see area code 301. 301 in my phone queue. You are now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. Who is this?
Hey, Catwoman, that's funny, man.
You like that, huh? Yeah, this guy named Stevie Williams, that's what he called. Instead of old maid or spinster, he says any woman that's roughly over 40, that's never been married, doesn't have any kids,
yeah,
living by herself, he calls them cat women. Cause he said,
yeah, but you got to watch out for women that have more than, or any cats, really.
So, tell me your first name.
Christian.
Christian, what's your thoughts about this whole topic and this conversation? What do you think about men who have never been married and women who have never been married at the age of 40 or older?
Well, there are like two sides to it, you know. I have a friend, she's a 28-year-old Latina, and in her household, the father is very dominant, and it's a very Catholic, very strong religion. And her father and her whole family, her mother too, they all put a lot of pressure on her to find a man and at least be on the way to get married. And that pressure is coming from her, like, entire family. And it's pretty much as strong as the pressure from her father on his son to get a good job and make a lot of money and have a house one day. So some people still look at it that way, and, you know, there's a whole lot more pressure on women to get married, really.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at it from a man's side, you know, I agree with what you said earlier. Why do you really want to get married before you're 40? You know, maybe you haven't found the right person yet, and good things may take time, you know. And to be honest, why would you want to get married in the first place, you know? If you can get pussy, you're just going to have fun. The only time you're going to get married is when you have kids. And, you know, if you want to have kids when you're financially stable, you know, when you have your house paid off and everything, you know, I don't see a lot of people having that done before they're 40. So as a man, other than, you know, social norm, there isn't really much reason for me to get married until I'm at least 40, you know. Oh, think about this. Is James Bond married? He gets a lot of pussy, right?
You said what?
Is James Bond married?
Oh, yeah, that's the... You know, it's funny. Like, I mentioned in my article I was just talking about that I wrote on Your Tango. Are you familiar with an actor named Warren Beatty?
The name rings a bell, yeah.
Here's what was funny about him. His nickname back in the day used to be, he had a few nicknames. One was Mr. Hollywood, but one of his most interesting nicknames, they used to call him Mr. Pussy because he was getting so much pussy. He was considered Hollywood, the entertainment industry's number one womanizer / serial monogamous. He's now married to an actress by the name of Annette Bening. And, but for years, he was single. He didn't get married for the first time until he was 54. He was 54 years old when he got married in 19. That was in 1992, I want to say. He's
That's
much
really
older late. Now. But yeah, his first marriage was at the age of 54. So my own older brother, he just got married for the first time. Well, it's been a few years now, but he got married, 5 years ago? He was 46, 47 when he got married for the first time. A lot of guys wait a long time to get married, and then there's some guys that just don't get married. I got at least a couple cousins, two or three cousins that are older than me that have never been married.
Maybe they don't want to get married at all. You know, you have to respect that too. But on the other hand, I have to also say that I'm still in college, and I see a lot of guys that are they're falling right into that social programming that a lot of women fall into now. It's kind of melting. It's really weird. And there are 22-year-old guys that are on their first serious relationship or second or third, and they think they got it figured out now. And they get married, and it's like, wow, yeah, you know, on track, you know, about to get out of college. I'm already married. We're going to get a house. But in today's society, you know, I don't know how to say that. People kind of get babied until they're 25, 30 years old. You know, most people don't really do the things that our fathers did when they were 20 years old, you know. And it's to get married before you've had life experiences that really shape you like that, it's a mistake to me, because you're going to wake up, one day you're going to wake up and say, wow, you know, I got married before I was a man, really.
You know, I remember when I was young, kind of along the same lines, my late father, he told me, because when I was in college, I was in a very serious relationship. It was almost like a marriage. And dated this woman for like 3 years, and my father, he didn't really approve of that. His attitude was, when you're young, you need to experience the world first before you even think about getting married.
Amen.
Yeah, he felt the earliest a man should get married is around maybe 29, 30, 31. He said that should be like the absolute earliest you get married. But really, he felt like you should even wait longer. He said you should like kind of see the world, do a lot of traveling, experience the world, meet a number of different people, date a number of different women. Then when you like, you know, somewhere between 30, 35, then you go ahead and settle down and get married. Now, Shelley did bring up a good point that, and a lot of my other female friends brought up a good point. Women don't always have the same luxury of waiting that men do. Like a man he can get married. Like I mentioned Warren Beatty, for example. Warren Beatty had kids. He now has 4 kids. See, he was able to have kids at 54. A woman ain't going to have kids at 54. You know, women do have a biological clock. So I do empathize with women when it comes to their biological clock. So they do kind of have like a, assuming that they want to be married and have kids. Now, some women, they just want to be married for male companionship. But for those women who want to be married in order to raise a family, yeah, they do have to find a husband by a certain age.
That is a lot of pressure. That's absolutely true. I couldn't even put myself in those shoes. And that's just, that's a lot of, if you do want to have kids, that's terrible, man. It's like a time running out.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you calling in and contributing your opinion. And is this your first time listening to my show, or are you a regular listener of mine?
Oh, I listen to your show all the time, man. And I thoroughly enjoy it. Also bought your book, Mode 1, and I'm halfway through it now. And I absolutely enjoy your opinion and love the book so far. It's right on the money. I wish I knew more people with that mindset, because it's very rare today.
Okay, then that means I got to have you say, before I let you go, stretch out the O's and give me your most enthusiastic Mode 1.
Mode 1, baby.
Mode 1.
Alan Roger Curry.
Getting up front and straightforward.
Alan Roger Curry.
Thank you so much for calling in.
Oh, and we were speaking about Stretch Notes. I got to teach you how to say my username right, okay?
Okay, what's your username?
Zo Zitas Aus.
Oh, you're the one! Man, your username is giving me fits for months.
Oh, man.
So
you know,
you're
funny
the infamous. Okay, say it one more time.
Zo Zitas Aus.
Zo Zi. See, I still can't say it. Zo.
What does it mean?
Zo Zitas Aus. It's basically, the funny thing is, it's an insider joke from the early 90s. It's from a radio show they had in the early 90s in Germany where I grew up. And it's four words put together, which basically means that's how it is. But in the show, they always said it basically in one swoop, like that's how it is. And in German, it would be So sieht das aus.
Okay, see, I'm still. It's going to take me a while.
You got the Zofan, okay.
Matter of fact, I'm going to have to listen to this as an archive and practice saying it. Right. But I appreciate you revealing yourself and letting me know about that. And again, continue to listen to my show, and I appreciate the kudos on my books. And, yeah, I'm about to go to Germany.
Oh, man, you're going to have a blast.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to it.
Try all the beer you can, man.
Okay. You'll do that. All right, I'm going to move on to another call, but take care.
Thanks for having me on.
All righty. Now I see area code 323. 323, you're now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. What is your first name and what's your comment?
What's going on, family? This is Dean. How y'all doing tonight?
What's up, Dean? How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I was looking at the topic, and so many people's faces came in my mind when you said over 35 and whatnot. I got one quick question before I answer on. You said, is not having any baggage at 35 or older a red flag? You know, and then I heard you guys saying being married, not being married, and in their 40s, a red flag. So which is the question tonight? I got a question. Which one is the question?
Okay, the question is a man or woman, I said initially 35, I've kind of upped it to 40. So I would say, is a man or woman who's 40 years of age or older, who's never been married and doesn't have any children, does that mean that there's something wrong with that person? Does that mean that they wouldn't make a good romantic companion? Because what happened, my friend Shelly, who you've heard conversing with me tonight, she had a discussion thread where she brought that up. She said some of her girlfriends felt like if they met a guy who's, say, I don't know, 40, 45, 50, and they found out he had never been married, didn't have any children, that would make them wonder about him, like, oh, he's probably not going to make a good boyfriend because something's wrong with him.
To me, that was, you know, what I was thinking you guys were saying. I'm thinking, to women, that's code for being gay. You know, they might not come say it to your face, but, you know, they'll say, like you know, you have the Luther Vandrosses and a lot of the other people that have never been married and never been linked to, you know, publicly to a woman or whatever, you know, or had children and whatnot. The first thing a female going to say is you gay. And if you just so happen to be at a family reunion and be of a certain age and be a man, you know, your aunties and cousins going to say, you still like women, right, baby? Why you ain't got no kids? You still like women, right? You know, and I say that because I went through that, you know, for a minute where, you know, I got kids, you know, I've been a Rolling Stone, but I ain't been married. So the first thing they say, if you don't be married and you go through these years, you know, you be in a family reunion, you know, them older women will be like, they be looking at you like you suspect. They look at it like it's a defect, like, why? why, what's wrong with you, you know, and stuff like that, you know, why haven't you been married or whatever, and I'll say this, you know, and I'll piss them off at every family reunion, and I'll be like, monogamy ain't for everybody. See, there you go. You got that from your uncles, you know, but that's just the reality that I say monogamy not for everybody, but when women say that, that's code for you must be gay. And, you know, they might be politically correct the way they say it, but, you know, if you of a certain age and ain't been married and don't have kids or whatever, they're going to look at it like, you know, you want them undercover brothers and don't have the TV show.
Well, I 2/3 agree and 1/3 disagree. I don't know if you were here for the early prior conversation. Now, I would agree that that's the number one perception among a lot of women. I don't agree that that's the only perception, at least based on my conversation.
And I admit, I say the same thing about women. You know, like we said with the Queen Latifahs, if you never see them linked to a dude and they have a certain age, you assume that before the tabloids got a hold of it, people in the community were saying that already, you know, because of a certain age. They say, hey, I've been seeing this person with, you know, they ain't been married and they're successful, whatever, you know, and that's just what it is. But then there's another reality that I've seen that played out on Atlanta Housewives almost, that you can't be successful and have a successful relationship at the same time, you know, which I know I know that's not true, and some do it, but that's becoming almost the norm. You know, you got to choose between, am I going to be successful or am I going to have a family? And every time, you know, someone tries to have both, you always see the divorce situation. So, you know, I can understand why people are opting out of marriage these days, because, you know, the career, whatever, and, you know, it's almost like you got to choose, because it's like a lot of work to do both. So I'm on a cliff between both of those. But like I said, again, just to answer your question, is not having any baggage at 35 or older a red flag? I would say that to women, definitely they're going to look at you like you're gay or something if you don't have children and you ain't been married and stuff like that, you know, or something wrong with you. Now, the dudes look at the women like that. If we say that they ain't never had children or they ain't never been married, you know, we look at them like, you know, like a children. We like, well, maybe I want to have a baby with her or whatever. That's a good thing. She ain't got no kids. That's a good thing to us. She ain't got no kids. That's beautiful, because every woman, I'm of a certain age now, and every female that I date right now got kids already. So, you know, that's not the reason to get married for me, because I want to have kids. I'm just saying, because everybody got kids in my age range that I'm dating. So, you know, that's my little 2 cents on that.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you calling in and contributing your opinion, Dean. Now, you're the same Dean
family
from Ebony Empress Show, right?
Well, I wouldn't say from Ebony Empress Show. I'll say I'm a frequent of Blog Talk Radio. You know, no shows claim me. Just saying.
Okay.
I'm saying, you know, hey now, I love a lot of you guys. If y'all talk about relationships, you gonna hear me on them shows. That's what's up. I love that.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that.
That's what it is. I'm falling back. I'm listening online, fam. I'm loving y'all show right now.
All right, Dean. Thank you for calling in and expressing your opinion. Oh, before you go, I'm going to put you on the spot. I want you to give me a nice, enthusiastic mode one.
Oh, what? Hey, now. Oh, what now?
Oh, you don't know about my first book called Mode One, Let the Women Know What You're Really Thinking?
Oh, we can't tell them what we're really thinking. You know, is this Michael Basin? Now, you know you got us in trouble with that first book, Never Satisfied. I'm just trying to talk. No, I'm just saying. We'll tell them everything.
No, I got a book. It's called Mode One, MODEONE.
Right, right.
And when I have guests on my show, and even a lot of my call-in listeners, I have them stretch out the O's so that they say Mode One.
Now, we got to have a female do that. Now, they didn't want to put that stretch out that O now. Hey, now.
Oh, Lord. Okay. Bye,
just
man. Bye, man.
Yo, love your show, family. Yes, yes.
Okay. All right. Boy, I tell you. Area code 609. You are now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. What's your first name?
It's Kareem out of Jersey.
Kareem, ain't talked to you in a minute, man. good to
hear
from
you. I know, man. Where you been?
Yeah, man. I had a 2-week hiatus. Like I said, half of it was provoked by the NCAA tournament because my alma mater was in the NCAA tournament, but they lost, Indiana University. And then the other half, as you can probably kind of hear in my voice, I've been having this voice problem for the last, like, month and a half, 2 months, man, where my normal, sexy, charming voice is just, it's escaped me. I got this, like, hoarse voice, like, when you just come back from a professional basketball, football game, you've been screaming for your favorite team, and it's just, so I might have to go see a doctor or something, see what's happening, because it's been going on for a while, so I thought I'd give my voice a rest, so that's why I took a break. But anyway, Kareem, I'm sure you've been listening to at least a good chunk of the conversation. What's your thoughts about the perception that if you have a bachelor that's 40 years of age or older and he's never been married, doesn't have any kids, that means something about him is questionable or even undesirable?
I mean, I just find it interesting because, you know, like I'm a younger cat. You know, I'm in my 20s. So just the thought of that is like, it's just interesting why women would think that, you know, that if you don't have anything going for you in regards to, like, having a kid at that point in time, that something's wrong with you. I mean, me personally, since I'm in my 20s, like, I'm just trying to date and stuff. And, you know, if I'm not married by a certain age, then it is what it is. That means I'm just still dating and having fun. So, I mean, that's just kind of how females operate in that aspect. Like, even I was talking to my mom the other day, and they tend to, if you say something, it's like the exact opposite of it. They think about the negative behind it. Like, say, even just recently, a friend of mine, she's in her 20s too. I just mentioned, yeah, I'm reading these really interesting, like, self-help books. He's like, well, what's wrong with you? Nothing. I just helped him right now. Like, why fuck got me wrong, man? I was reading this really interesting book about such and such. Well, you don't know about that already? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they just quick to flip shit. So I'm like, it's not that serious. It's just, it is what it is. So I guess it depends on females, but I don't know. All I'm saying is that if you don't have maybe kids or a marriage by a certain age, it is what it is. Because like you said earlier, you can't just settle. You got to, you know what you're looking for and believe it's out there and go get it. So that's my logic on it.
That was good feedback, Kareem.
Thank you.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. Okay, now let's switch genders about women. Any thoughts you've ever had about a woman you might have met or friend of a friend that, say, was 35 years of age, older, that was never married, didn't have kids? Did you think, even though based on what you just said, you would never want to think negatively, but have you ever had any question marks on your head?
Not necessarily, but it would technically make you think. Like, you see a woman who's in her 30s or a little older, like in her 40s, but she doesn't have any kids or hasn't been married yet. Odds are, like, 90% of the time, it could be attributed to her just being very business-minded. Doesn't mean she's crazy all the time. It means she's just driven and focused on what she needs to do. So she can be, you know, really just business-minded. I've seen that, like, multiple times.
That's true. I've seen that actually quite often. And I even wrote an article about that one time, is that starting with the latter part of the 20th century and moving into the 21st century, you have a lot of women who are very career-driven. I mean, I say the early to middle part of the 20th century, that was mainly the man's role, is to be the driven one, you know, and be the breadwinner. But, you know, in starting with what I refer to as the Oprah generation, you've got a lot of women who are all about their own self-sufficiency and, you know, achieving a high degree of career success. And a lot of those type of women, their attitude is, you know, I ain't got time to be having kids and attending to no husband. I'm trying to, you know, make that paper and, you know, achieve the highest degree of career success I can. So,
Yeah,
yeah,
very
so that's
true.
A good point.
You see that a lot in like college graduate females. You tend to see them. They don't worry about that mess. Like, well, I'm focusing on my career. I gotta do this. I gotta do that. So next thing you know, they haven't been married. They haven't had any kids. But all of a sudden, they're 30 and very business minded. See what I'm saying? So it's like it just kind of happens. They don't plan out. Oh, I'm not gonna date guys and get married. They just go with the flow, and whatever happens, happens. And I'm 35. Don't have any kids. Well, at least you're successful. So it's like, you know, it's a catch 22 in a way. It really depends. So it's interesting.
All right, Kareem. Well, again, thank you for that. Now, please don't disappoint me when I ask you this favor like Dean just did.
Nah, I don't know what that dude's talking about. I'll do it, man. You know, I'll do it. I've been waiting to do it. Shit.
Okay, give me your best Mo one.
Mo one.
Oh, that was a real good one. Mo
one. Alan Roger Curry.
Mo one.
Getting up front, straight forward.
Mo one.
Alan Roger Curry.
Mo one.
Mo
Mo
Mo one.
Listeners, I'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Dangerously. And you may have read my short story, Till Death Do Us Part, in the New York Times bestselling anthology, Succulent, Chocolate Flavored Soup, presented by Zay. Well, things get even hotter between the pages of Keep Your Panties Up and Your Skirt Down. Check it out at PantiesUpSkirtDown.com. And remember, keep it dangerous.
What's up, folks? This is Alan Roger Curry of Upfront and Straightforward and Mo One fame. And if you're a music lover, I urge you to listen to Madison Media Radio. It's not just music, but it is music with a purpose. Right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network.
Mo One.
Do you think that guys, to one degree or another, have to play the role of the bad boy to attract women, or they just need to remain who they are and just, you know, be patient?
No, they need to combine their game. They need to go in with an attitude that I'm going to be a gentleman, but I'm also letting you know that I'm attracted to you. You know, I want to kiss you. I want to hold you. I want to, you know, I want to take you out. I want to date you. You know, if you think I want to get in your pants, you're probably right. But at the same time, I like you. I like you. I want to see you.
You know, there's more single women than married women in the United States.
Oh, really?
It's over 51%. Yeah.
There's more what?
Okay. There's more single women than married women in the United States right now. First time ever in history.
Mindset is correct. Somewhere there's a woman that's balanced, that's God-focused, that's, you know, she gives because she wants to give, not because she's trying to hook somebody with her giving, but she values herself. She recognizes her good qualities, acknowledges her bad qualities, and this is the person that's balanced and ready to be in a healthy relationship.
Just so the listeners know, there's a letter in my first book, Letters to a Young Brother, Manifest Your Destiny. It's called Finding Your Swagger. In fact, it's so funny. I just got a letter from a young brother that he read my book, and it's changed his life. And he also put it in, he said, and you know what? I found my swagger, and now all the girls like me like he said they would. I was so tickled by that, yeah.
Oh, man, you gotta love it. Single, lonely,
confused? Join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network.
We now return to my open forum discussion that asked a question: if you have never been married and do not have any children by the age of 35, does that put a big red flag on top of your head? On Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network.
Welcome back to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, the most listened to talk radio podcast program on the Blog Talk Radio Network in the category of romance and dating and relationships. And what we've been talking about tonight is the perception, the negative perception that something is wrong with a man or woman who is 40 years of age or older, who's never been married and doesn't have any children. Shelly, any thoughts you want to add in at this point?
Just from personal experience, growing up and things like that, hearing men tell me, oh, you're going to make some man happy one day, or he's going to be lucky whoever ends up with you. And then dealing with just getting older myself, I mean, I just celebrated my 30th birthday not too long ago. And it hit 30th? Me. I'm like, okay, I'm in my 30s. Okay. This is interesting. This is different. I'm not all about being out and about and clubbing and stuff like that. It's more like, all right, what's the future going to hold? And I was wondering, I'm like, well, if I don't happen to settle down with somebody in a relatively soon time, am I going to be looked upon as, well, what's wrong with her? You know, why haven't she found somebody if she's such a great catch? And I guess the same is true of men. You know, people think, well, if somebody else hasn't snapped you up, there must be something wrong with you. So that's where I guess the whole notion of a red flag comes up for people, because if you're such a great catch, someone should have gotten you by, you know, the time you're in your 30s, early 40s or whatever. So, yeah.
I want to give some shout outs to, number one, all my guests in the chat room. Let's see, I'm going to mess up that name, and he just tutored me on how to say it. Do you remember, Shelly, how you pronounced that? Susan Daisel?
Susan something. I need to see it to say it.
What did he say, man? I forgot that quick. It's
so
four
so
words.
Is it is, or that's how it is.
Yeah, that's how it is. That's how it is. Yeah, Susan De Jesus. So I'm gonna say it until I get it right. That's
there
that's
you
what
go.
It would be for
We're
now.
In Germany,
Susan De Jesus.
You gotta say that.
Is in my chat room. I got Stephen Harper. I got Shelly Bean, who's in my chat room. You've been pretty active in my chat room, Shelly.
Yeah. Working my fingers.
Yeah. Guys, if you saw a picture of Shelly Bean, trust me, you'd be flooding her email. She's a looker. I got Nelson in my chat room. I got Mr. Mystical. What's up, man? Long time. Good to see you in my chat room, Mystical. I got Miss Diva 69. It's in my chat room. I got Makisha in my chat room. I hope I pronounced that right. Makisha, I must go with. Michelle is still with me. Michelle, I just met her last night. I was interviewed on another woman's show on Blog Talk Radio who goes by the name Ebony Empress. Ebony Empress, she interviewed me. And Makisha said I got her name right. Okay. Yes, Stephen, Shelly, she probably don't want me putting on the spot like that, but shit. You know, and I'm pretty stingy sometimes with flattery, but Shelly's a fine motherfucker. I just put it like that. She's a fine motherfucker. Got Love and Light. Now, Love and Light has been low-key in my chat room, man. Love and Light usually causing trouble in my chat room. I got Liberal Democrat in my chat room. I got two of my younger cousins in my chat room. JP, otherwise known as J-Rock, he's in my chat room. I got Christopher Curry from Detroit in my chat room. I got Charles Surge in my chat. Angel Eyes, how you doing, Angel Eyes? I haven't seen you in a hot minute. Angel Eyes, she actually did that voice. If you heard my promo for the Erotic Conversation, that's my other show. I actually just recorded an episode, a new episode. Somebody had just written me, a guy. I rarely hear from guys for that show because that show is like 90 to 95% female listeners. But for those who don't know, I do have another show called The Erotic Conversationalist. And Angel Eyes actually did one of my promos for that. Let me see if I can find a promo for The Erotic. Yeah, that's risque. You think I get provocative on Upfront and Straightforward. Erotic Conversationalist is, that's my really, like, triple X-rated show. I mean, basically, all I talk about is fucking on that show. And I'm not even trying to be funny. I mean, that's usually the topic of discussion, something that's directly and indirectly to do with fucking. I usually like to interview a woman. That show is only female guests. It's usually a woman who does something career-wise to do with sex. Like she's an erotica novelist. Like right now I'm trying to get Mary B. Morrison on that show. I've had some strippers on that show. I've had people from the women from the porn industry. But let me see if I got a promo for The Erotic Conversation.
Ladies,
mode one.
Oh, Alan, you have such an innocent, wholesome face. Who would have known you're as nasty and freaky as you are?
I'm a good girl.
My new show, The Erotic Conversationalist, is for everyone. Prudish, the free-spirited, and everyone in between, for even the good girls.
Yes, that was bad. You're so deliciously naughty. Mode one. I can't wait to listen.
Yep, that's the erotic. So I will let you guys know when I upload my next episode. That show is pre-recorded. And again, I just recorded an episode just yesterday, and I'll probably be uploading in the next 2 to 3 weeks. I think Michelle is in my phone queue. Michelle, are you there? Are you there, Michelle?
Hello, Alan. It's Michelle. I couldn't resist calling in. And I'm supposed to be working. It's like, you know, it's the afternoon here in Australia, and I'm supposed to be working, and here I am.
See, Michelle, I got to pause you for a second because I got to do a little bragging here. See, listeners, if you think I only attract listeners from the United States, you would be wrong. I have had listeners from Canada. I've had listeners from France. I've had listeners from the United Kingdom. I've had listeners from Australia. I've had listeners from, who else, South America, Brazil. I've had probably about listeners from about 15 to 20 different countries. Germany. I've had listeners from Germany. I can't think of all of them right now, but I've had a number of different listeners. So I just wanted to kind of toot the horn of my show in terms of its appeal. Not only has domestic appeal, has international appeal, and that's why I'm the number one dating relationship show on Blog Talk Radio. But Michelle, as you were saying, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh, no, it's okay. It's no, absolutely. I love listening to you because you're lots of fun, and I love to laugh. So I'm always laughing when I listen to you, and that's great. So,
oh, now so I'm funny. What... See, last night you said I love to listen to you, Alan, because you're so sexy, and you just, oh, you just get me all hot and bothered.
Look, you know, you're a man of many talents. I can see that.
Okay, I'll go with that. I'll go with that. Now, what's your thoughts about tonight's discussion? What strong opinion or comment do you have to contribute to the conversation?
Look, I've got heaps and heaps of comments, but and opinions about it. It's actually such a you know, we're keeping it a bit light tonight, but it's such a deep topic, I think, because it's there's so much to it. But I think just a couple of things I wanted to say was one was that the issue of love is a big one. I think really what we were saying before about women are pretty much quite independent today. Women of my age group anyway. I'm just about 40. I think I told you that yesterday, and I have baggage. But I'm quite independent, and really, I want to be with someone that I love, and I haven't met that person yet, so I haven't been completely and utterly in love yet. So, but I think that presents a whole heap of issues because
you better make some
because women, I think people. They're looking for love, and until they find love, I don't know if you feel the same, you're not going to get married. You're not going to settle for just anyone just because you have to get married, because really you don't.
I'm partially disagree with you, Michelle.
Where I
say this is going to be kind of half lighthearted but half serious.
Yeah.
But knowing men the way I do, I would just keep it real, as I always do on my show. Men, now there's a few. There's always exceptions, so I want to say that. But men, by and large, we don't go looking for love. We really don't. We look to just fuck. We look for pussy. And what happens is, I'm going to tell you what happens, and I've talked about this a few times on my show. What happens with most guys that I can think of is that they'll just go out looking to get laid, looking to get some pussy, and, okay, I'm going to use you as an example since I'm talking about this. A man will be looking for some pussy, he meets you, and say you guys end up fucking. And then he notices he likes your smile. Then a week later he notices he likes your laugh. Then he notices that you have some of the same interests that he does. I did this workshop where I told these women, I said, what it is, I said, I used the analogy of chips. Think of like casino chips. I said, sex is always going to be the golden chip for men. That's the golden chip on the table. Because, I know what the question was. A woman asked me, what makes a man look at a woman as girlfriend material, wife material, versus just casual sex material? And I said, the common denominator is that the golden chip of sex is always on the table. But when a man begins to look at you as serious girlfriend or wife material is when he's able to start adding chips onto that golden chip. Again, things like your sense of humor, your intelligence, the way you do your hair, the way you dress, your knowledge about 18th century art, whatever resonates with him. Like, I always tell the story. I remember this guy, I had a buddy, and he had met this woman, and when he first met her, he just wanted to fuck her. Just real talk, he just wanted to fuck her. She was like just one of his fuck buddies. And there was another woman who he was actually more interested in romantically. But then what happened, his mother passed away. And the week his mother passed away, the woman who he was really interested in or thought he was interested in, she disappeared. She like kind of like went AWOL'd him. Whereas the woman who he just looked at as a fuck buddy, she was there for him. You know, she ran errands for him. She was there for him. Next thing you know, he made that woman his girlfriend. And I was like, dude, I thought you said this was the woman you was just kicking it with casually. He's like, bruh, I'm going to tell you, dude. He said, man, she's a keeper, dude. He said, in my most downtime, my most stressful moments, she was there. He said, the other chick, she wasn't. You know, he's like, so, he said, she revealed some things to me. He said, so I've upgraded. That's what a lot of guys use the term. He said, I upgraded the relationship. And I think to this day, I think they're married now. But so anyway, I didn't mean to go on a segue. But when you were talking about women look for love, I would say I do agree that there's a good number of men who look for love too. But I would say there's an equal, if not greater amount of men who just really initially, they're just looking to get laid. But when that woman reveals qualities about herself that makes her, you know, seem like a keeper, then men say, okay, I don't want to let her go. I don't want another man to snatch her up. And, you know, there you go.
Yeah, that's sort of not what I'm saying, though. I get all of that. But what I'm saying is that from a female perspective, I'm actually saying this is a little bit of an issue because a bit of a problem because that women are looking for love because we don't necessarily look at a man for everything he can give us or we're looking for the man that we fall in love with because we can actually provide that for ourselves, which is whereas in my for example with my parents they sort of had to get married because if you were a single woman beyond 21, 22, like we were saying before, you really didn't have many prospects and you needed a man to be able to just be legitimized in society, to have, you know, to be have financial stability, to have a family because that was what your role was considered to be, whereas today it's not quite like that. And I think a lot of people get married for the wrong reasons. You know,
I totally agree with that.
Yeah, they get married for the wrong reasons. Sometimes it's because they just feel in love, and in love is not is not the loving.
See,
someone.
Now, what's your definition of love? What's your definition of love?
My definition of love is what I put my energy and my concentration and my feelings and thoughts into and my all of those sorts of things. It's not just a feeling of love, but it's what I do. So I choose to love someone, and I haven't chosen to love someone for a long time because I haven't felt that right person has come into my life yet. I don't think I'm a bitch. I don't think there's anything wrong with me at all. I don't think I'm ugly. I just haven't found the right person. That's all. And my love has gone into my daughter. Now that she's grown up, I'm looking to shift my love into a man. So,
wait, I might know why. What's your red flag? Let me ask you two very important questions.
Yeah.
Do you like chicken wings?
I love chicken wings.
Do you like peach napple?
I love peach napple.
Oh, and then somebody should be snatching your ass up there. I don't know what the fuck are all these guys. Because that's my two qualifiers. Well, really, if I had to add on one more and get a little risque tonight, if she got to suck dick real good. So that's my risque factor.
I won't give away. That's can't give away everything.
But yeah, if a woman loves peach napple, she loves chicken wings, she gives good head, I tell all men, that's a keeper. That's a keeper. You snatch that woman up.
It's a sense of humor. I love to laugh. That's all. If I can laugh for the rest of my life, I'm done. I'm happy. It's simple. It's actually very simple.
But the reason I ask you about love, because love is such a esoteric term, and you know it's very subjective and ranges in description and definition from man to man and from woman to woman. But I liked your description and definition because the number one time I have problems with people's description of love is when they kind of look at it as that warm, fuzzy feeling.
Yeah.
But every older person I've ever talked to, whether it was my relatives or friends of the family, whatever, they would always say, they say, Alan, that warm fuzzy feeling, that shit don't last for like 25, 30, 40, 50 years. Sometimes you're going to wake up. Like this woman said that at a workshop me and my cousin were at. She said, sometimes when I wake up, I just don't like my husband. She said, I love him, but there's some days I just don't like him because he just gets on my damn nerves. And that's real. I think love is when you know that your partner has some flaws, some little quirks that get on your nerves, some little habits that just agitate the shit out of you, but you still would rather be with them than anybody else on earth. But, yeah, I think love has to go beyond that like, you know, Valentine's Day Hallmark card that makes you feel all
fuzzy. Yeah, buzzing, yeah. Those romantic comedies got a lot to whatever they're called, rom-coms. They've got a lot to answer for. I think yeah. Women get addicted to those movies. They think that's, you know, in the back of their mind, they're thinking, oh yeah, I know the reality of the situation, but maybe I'm different. Maybe I will find that rom-com hero in my life.
See, you bring it up. Yeah. I've written a couple articles about this.
Yeah.
I read articles that some articles will harshly criticize men and some of the things they do or fail to do, and some articles criticize women and what they do and fail to do. And on the women's side, one of my things that I'm critical of a lot of women is women who treat these romantic fairy tale movies like their reality. And I tell all my female friends and acquaintances, that shit, that's a movie. There's a reason why they call it a fairy tale, because it's a fairy tale. Shit ain't representative of real life. You know, but
yeah.
I hear women say, oh, I want my Prince Charming to come and, you know. I'm like, no, I mean, there's some good dudes out here. I would never say that, you know. But as far as it goes, as far as, say, a Prince Charming, you know, like, you know, this. And that's one of my criticisms on Hollywood.
We're sold that story from the beginning.
A lot of women will say that. That's usually most women's number one response. They'll say, Alan, you know, from the time I was like 7 or 8 years old, you know, I was shown these movies that have these romantic fairy tale storylines, and, you know, I was raised on them, and I just, you know, like, I'll give you one example. Pretty Woman. I love that movie. That movie made a lot of money.
Yeah.
It was very entertaining. But if I had to go in the area of what I call reality check,
yeah,
ain't no prostitute. That might happen like to one out of a million women, but a woman who's walking the streets as a street prostitute ain't going to just in 2 or 3 weeks meet some handsome guy who's a millionaire corporate, you know, executive that's going to propose marriage to her. Like, you know, that was a fantasy. That was a fantasy for a woman to go from a street prostitute to a guy the caliber of Richard Gere's character in that movie's wife in a matter of like a week or two. I ain't gonna say that's impossible to happen in life. Again, that might happen to like one out of a million women, but that's one of those movies that you just got to say to yourself, okay, that was entertaining, that was a movie, but that was not representative of real life.
Yeah, absolutely. But what a great story, hey?
It was. I enjoyed that movie. I enjoyed Pretty Woman. I watched that movie a number of times. I mean, I like romantic comedies. Like one of my favorites is, I got a few favorites in romantic comedies and romantic dramas.
I loved Dirty Dancing when I was growing up. I was banging.
A lot of women love Dirty Dancing. A lot of women love that. I get 5 of my favorites. I actually talk about these in some of my books, some of my favorites. Movie called Swingers. I think Swingers was the best romantic comedy from a man's perspective I've ever seen.
I haven't seen that one, Swingers.
Yeah, a lot of women haven't seen that, but I don't even know if you would even enjoy it as much as the average man does. But most men who've seen that movie rank it in their top 5, top 10. Because that movie was excellent. That's the movie that launched Vince Vaughn. You familiar with Vince Vaughn?
Yes, yep.
Well, that movie was the first movie. That was basically like kind of his coming out movie. Like, nobody had ever heard of Vince Vaughn before Swingers. John Favreau, who directed the first couple of Iron Man, and he's been a few things.
Right.
He was the one who actually wrote that movie. And so that's one of my top five favorites. Another one is Chasing Amy. I mentioned that a few times.
Oh, Chasing Amy, yeah.
Chasing Amy, real. Yeah. Now, see, that's a movie. Speaking of Chasing Amy, I was talking about movies that represent aspects of real life versus those that are kind of fantasy oriented. Chasing Amy is a real movie. Now, that's a real movie. Because why I always bring up that movie is when I talk about what's known as the Madonna horror complex. Are you familiar with the Madonna horror complex?
I'm Catholic, absolutely.
I talk about that a lot in my books. I've talked about that a lot on my TV. Because that's a big thing with me. Matter of fact, I wrote an article, and you can look it up. There's an article that's real popular among women that I wrote. It's called "The First Step to Understanding Men is to Understand the Madonna Horror Complex." And I really believe that. I get emails to this day from that article, and I wrote that article probably like 2 or 3 years ago. But for those listeners who I think 90% of my listeners are familiar by now with the Madonna Horror Complex, but if you're not, the Madonna Horror Complex basically is, first of all, it was created by the legendary psychiatrist Sigmund Freud, and he basically said that most men, well, not all men. Well, yeah, he said a good number of men. I want to make sure I didn't say all men. He said a good number of men, they want two women in their life. They want one woman that's their proverbial good girl. That's the woman that they're more than likely to date and marry. He said with that woman, they want the woman to represent the best qualities of their mother. Because he said, for all men, and I tend to agree with this, he said, for all men, the first woman that men look at as worthy of respect is their mom, unless, of course, they had some kind of major dysfunctional relationship. But assuming that they had a good relationship with their mom, all men revere their mothers and respect their mothers and put their mothers on a pedestal. And secondly, men know, usually a man lives with his mother for the first 16, 17, 18 years of his life. So he knows if he finds a woman that's similar to his mother, he knows he could tolerate her for at least 16, 18 years. So Sigmund Freud said a man is going to look, when it comes to getting married, a man's going to look for a woman who has at least a handful of qualities, if not more, that remind him of his mother. Then on the other end, he's going to look for a woman who is almost the antithesis of his mother. A woman, he said the negative thing about looking at the woman as like his mother is that most men, all men, they don't look at their mothers as sexual creatures. So they want another woman that represents kinky sex and lust and sexual enjoyment. So basically, in a nutshell, without getting too lengthy, too academic, Sigmund Freud was saying that's why a lot of men cheat and why a lot of men, married men, have mistresses. Because he said men want to have a good girl in their life and they want to have a quote-unquote bad girl in their life. And he basically went on to say that's not a good thing, you know, because...
No, it's not, because women want to have all of that in one.
Exactly.
So, you know, we want to be able to be dirty and good at the same time, and for it all to be accepted by the man that we love. So it's an issue for sure.
And that's why I wrote the article. I said, basically in my article, I said that as a woman, you want what I refer to as a fully evolved man. And a fully evolved man is a man who can handle both personas in one body. But a man who suffers from the Madonna horror complex to a high degree, he can't handle both personas in one body.
Yeah.
He can't handle the classy lady in the street and freak in the sheets. He wants one in one body and the other one in another body. And I've had personal friends of mine who have confessed to me. I've talked about it on my show. I know male friends. Like, I can think of, like, one friend off the top of my head. He told me a few years ago he would always be cheating on his wife. And I said, dude, what is up with you, man? Why are you always fucking cheating on your wife, man? Why don't you have your wife, like, you know, live out all your sexual fantasies? He said, man, I cannot look at my wife that way. I said, really? He said, man, that's the mother of my children, man. I don't want her sucking my dick. I don't want to fuck her doggy style. I don't want to do no kinky shit with my wife. Because I look at her as my personal good girl. And I look at her as the mother of my children. He said, when I want to do kinky, freaky shit, I do that with my side women. And see, he was a classic example of a guy who suffered from Madonna whore complex.
Yeah, a lot of guys will say to me, "Oh, that's Susan. She's a good girl. Yeah, she's a good girl." And that's how they'll describe women, you know, and that's the category that they put them into. And yeah, it's sexually, and I think it goes the other way as well. I think women as well have a really hard time. Not all women, but a lot of women have a hard time accepting men in the fullness of who they are as well. We want our men to be either. Did you ever see the Thornbirds?
Long time ago.
Oh, look, it's an Australian film, but essentially the storyline is this girl grows up and she ends up falling in love with the priest. And she has with the priest who she ends up having an affair with when she grows up, but she also has this sort of real rugged man that she also falls in love with. And it's like the Madonna whore, except it's the male equivalent, and she can't bring the two together. And I think women have the same issue. We also try to reduce men into a category as well, you know, whether it be the man, the sexual man, the nice guy, or whatever it might be. But if we have a man with all of those qualities rolled up into one, I don't know if we can necessarily always handle it, because then it's confronting to us to have someone who's strong in their power, masculine power, is quite confronting, I think, for a lot of women as well.
Well, you know,
and
it's funny.
And that's why we see a lot of characters in, you know, in movies and on TV shows where the man is belittled. The man's always condescended to, always put down. He's made to look like the idiot, you know. He's either a nerd or he can't be a nerd. And, oops, sorry.
Somebody calling you.
Sorry. It's okay. And sorry about that. Yeah, so I think it goes the other way as well. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Well, good feedback, Michelle. Good feedback.
I just wanted to answer your question, though. The thing about whether I would look at a guy who has no baggage at 40 as a there's something wrong. I would have to say no. It's the ideal guy. But if I met a guy who'd had absolutely no relationships up to that point, was perhaps living on his own, and if I walked into his, not on his own, but if I walked into his apartment or home and he was into Dungeons and Dragons and things like that, this person's just not taking the hint, then I would actually be a bit worried. If he had, you know, no friends, or that would be a problem. But otherwise, I just think that people take their time these days in finding the right person. That's all I think it is.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for calling in my show for the first time. And
you're welcome, Alan. Thank you very much. And I love your voice, by the way.
You say you love my hoarse voice?
I do love your horse voice.
Wow, you earned some brownie points tonight, because, man, Michelle, shoot. I've been kind of feeling self-conscious about my voice last few weeks because it's been hoarse, but now you got my head swelling up over here. So I hope I've made a regular listener out of you. I hope you come back to my show and listen.
Yeah.
And before I let you go, of course, you got to give me your sexiest Mo one.
Oh, no. Okay, all right, let's go. Mode one.
Okay.
Alan Roger Curry.
Get up front, straight forward.
Alan Roger Curry.
Mode one. Okay, we're coming up on probably my last. We actually went over. You probably noticed that we went over a little bit. Shelly, you still with me?
Yep, I'm still here.
Shelly been busy in the chat room. Ever since I told the guys that she was fine, they've been flirting with her, and she's been flirting back, and boy, I tell you. So anything you listened to since the last time you chimed in, anything you wanted to add new or different or not really?
Oh, man. No, I've been too busy in the chat room to.
Yeah, you've been too busy in the chat room. Boy, I tell you. I see Ebony Empress in my phone queue, but she didn't raise her hand. So let me ask her if she wants to add anything. Ebony, have you listened to this conversation or are you just tuning in?
Yeah, I'm listening to your conversation. How you doing?
What do you have to? You got anything to contribute? Any opinions, thoughts, comments?
No.
No.
I literally started listening about 5 minutes or so ago.
Oh, well, then you've missed most of the conversation then. Okay.
I missed most of the conversation, but I just want to say hi. I'm not normally up this early. You know that because I'm in the UK, so it's like 5:17 in the morning. It's really early, but I got up because I was putting up a show and I just happened to see you're on. So yeah, I'll try and catch you your podcast so that I can hear all the wisdom.
Now, Ebony, before I let you go, tell my listeners, because I was talking about you earlier. Listeners, remember I said I was interviewed just yesterday? That's actually where I first met Michelle, my last caller. But, Ebony, tell them about your interview with me real briefly and tell them how they can come to your page and listen to your interview with me.
Oh, okay. So we did an interview yesterday, which was really about the last two books that you've written. So I'm trying to remember now because it's early in the morning, but we were talking about, Say It Again. Is that the one? And the other one, which is, oh, God, it's gone out of my head. What's the other book? What's the other book? The last two. So
okay.
Say It Again.
So you forget my books. Okay, listeners, here are my four books. First of all, listeners, if you want to find out more about my books, go to Amazon.com and put in Alan Roger Curry, A-L-A-N, Roger, C-U-R-R-I-E, Alan Roger Curry. Put that in Amazon. I have four books out. My first book and most well-known book is called Mode One, Let the Women Know What You're Really Thinking. My second book has the same title as this show. It's called Upfront and Straightforward, Let the Manipulative Game Players Know What You're Really Thinking. My third book, and now this is actually now my best-selling book. It overtook Mode 1 in 2012 as my bestseller. My third book is called, Ooh, I always have to drop my voice. Ooh, say it again. Mastering the Fine Art of Verbal Seduction and Oral Sex, not O-R-A-L, but A-U-R-A-L. And then my last book that came out in October of 2012 is called The Possibility of Sex, How Naive and Lustful Men Are Manipulated by Women Regularly. And I've gotten a lot of 4-star and 5-star ratings on all my books on Amazon. I had a couple people that was hating on Mo 1. Mo 1 is actually my only book that has a couple of one-star, two-star, and three-star ratings. But my last three books have nothing but four- and five-star ratings.
There you go.
Yeah, so I really feel happy about that. But yeah, Ebony here, she interviewed me last night. We had a long interview, about 2 hours.
We did. It was 2 hours. It started out as 90 minutes, and I moved it up to 2 hours because I was enjoying the conversation. But it was an up-close and straightforward conversation with
Ebony. She let me say words like dick, pussy, and fucking. Because if you listen to her show normally, she doesn't allow those words. She's like a really PG-13 type host. But in that interview with me, she let me talk about fucking, get my dick sucked, and all that type of stuff. So I always enjoy those type of interviews.
Well, you know what? You know, you can take someone out of an environment, but you can't really change who they are. So I allowed you to do your thing, but people know it was after dark. It was also an explicit rating, so that none of my normal listeners who may offended. So
here
we go. Okay.
Okay. Before I let you go, Ebony, I want you to give me your sexiest and most enthusiastic moan.
Oh God, I don't know. Can you afford it? Can you afford it?
Lord have mercy.
Can you afford it?
Just say mode one.
No. You know it's going to cost you, baby. It's going to cost you. Okay. So, okay. So, mode one.
Mode one.
Alan Roger Curry.
Mode one. Get up front and straight forward.
Mode one. Alan Roger Curry.
Mode one. Get up.
Mode one.
I want to thank Ebony for calling in. I want to thank Michelle from Australia for calling in. I want to thank all my callers. I was going to end the show, but now I see somebody else calling. 765. You're now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. Have you been listening for most of the show?
I just called in just to chime in real quick. I caught the end of the show. I'm about to listen to the whole show, but there's nothing wrong with not having baggage. There's plenty of men and women looking for people in that age range, you know, a 45-year-old man, 50-year-old man, meet a 35-year-old woman. And she don't have baggage, she's going to be getting wifed up, same thing, you know. It's good for men not to have baggage. But it's not a red flag. I don't think it should be a red flag because some people have different experiences, and if you expect everybody to be a failure, everybody to have issues, it could be that you think that way because you have issues, you know, and that's just my little 2 cents on the show, but I missed the whole show, man.
Oh, well, you can go back. What's your first name, brother?
Steve.
Steve
from Indianapolis, and they changed the whole way Blog Talk is set up, man. It's hard to search for stuff, and
now, you've called into my show before, haven't you?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. I remember Steve from Indianapolis. Okay. Yeah.
I might set up my cell phone so that when these shows come on, it starts to text me. That way I know these shows are going on. But, man, you have a good night, brother.
Oh, I appreciate you calling in, brother. Thank you. And that's going to do it. Shelly, if you're still there and not flirting with every man in my chat room, I want to tell you. I want to tell you, thank you for coming on the show tonight. I really appreciate your input. And I also appreciate you giving me that link to that home remedies for my voice. Much appreciated.
You're very welcome.
Yeah, so you stay sweet and sexy, and I will talk to you soon. And listeners, I don't know who my guest will be next week. I'll keep you posted through Facebook and on Twitter and on Blog Talk Radio site. It might be I might have an invited guest, or I might have another open forum discussion. So I'll probably let you know by Monday or Tuesday of next week. Until then, have a safe and enjoyable weekend. And if you got any tips like Shelly had for my voice, you know, send them to me, because I want my voice to get back to its true, you know, that seductive, charming voice I've always had. But Michelle says she likes my hoarse voice, so I appreciated that. She says she likes my voice with it having that hoarseness to it, so that's real cool. But anyway, again, have a safe and enjoyable weekend. Love all you listeners. Take care. I'll see you next week.